stuck in my coat pocket. I'm sure I'll get it soon. Okay. Sorry about that. If there's any time that an expression of grace is appropriate, which is almost all the time, but especially as we approach the Christmas season, it would be today. May you experience the grace of God, which was revealed in full measure when his Son came and was born, that he might live and die and be raised to life for you and for me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for how wonderful a God you are. As we look at this passage of Scripture that is so, so wonderful and so meaningful, may we be touched anew by its message. In Jesus' name, amen. We are looking at one of the most sublime, one of the richest passages of Scripture, one of the most profound passages that you will find in all of Scripture. It is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. We may study it over and over and not get to the bottom of its meaning. The more you study this passage, the more you recognize you are only scratching the surface. This passage is believed to come from an early Christian hymn. It has a quality in Greek and even in English that is lyrical. The very words arrest our attention. They convey grace and power. They invite us to pause and ponder their meaning. They invite us to try to figure out the import and allow them to impact our lives. Listen as Heather, Marlene, and Jamie read the words of John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
He was with God in the beginning.
Through him all things were made.
Without him nothing was made that has been made.
In him was life.
And that life was the light of men.
The light shines in the darkness.
But the darkness has not understood it.
There came a man who was sent from God.
His name was John.
He came as a witness to testify concerning that light,
so that through him all men might believe.
He himself was not the light.
He came only as a witness to the light.
The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world.
He was in the world.
And though the world was made through him,
the world did not recognize him.
He came to that which was his own,
but his own did not receive him.
Yet to all who receive him,
to those who believed in his name,
he gave the right to become children of God.
Children born not of natural descent,
nor of human decision,
or a husband's will,
but born of God.
The Word became flesh
and made his dwelling among us.
We have seen his glory,
the glory of the one and only,
who came from the Father,
full of grace and truth.
John testifies concerning him.
He cries out, saying,
"This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'"
From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another.
For the law was given through Moses.
Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
No one has ever seen God,
but God, the one and only,
who is at the Father's side,
has made him known.
May we praise God for becoming flesh to save us.
If you want to open your Bibles to John chapter 1, it's page 886 in the Pew Bibles. We'll be looking at these verses for a few moments. John chapter 1, page 886 in the Pew Bibles. This is often referred to, as I said earlier, as the prologue of the Gospel of John. The message of the prologue is this: in the life and ministry of Jesus, the glory of God was uniquely disclosed. In the life and ministry of Jesus, the glory of God was uniquely disclosed. These 18 verses give perspective to everything that will take place in the Gospel of John, from the banks of the Jordan to the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. They show how the eternal Word of God became flesh in order that men and women might believe in Him and live forever. In the beginning, verse 1 says, was the Word. It's interesting that John chooses this phrase to introduce Jesus. Mark does not tell any story of the birth of Jesus, nor does John really. In verse 14, he states it when he says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Matthew approaches the birth of Jesus from the standpoint of Joseph and his genealogy and what he went through and the arrival of the wise men. John mentions nothing of them. Luke approaches the birth of Jesus from the standpoint of Mary and her genealogy and the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah and the coming of the shepherds and the announcements by Anna and by Simeon that he was the Messiah. But John simply begins, in the beginning was the Word. Why did he use that term? He could have said simply, in the beginning was God. I believe there's three reasons why he said in the beginning was the Word. First of all, he could use that term and it would apply to both Greek culture and thought and Hebrew culture and thought. You see, the Greeks thought the Word to be the principle of reason and order that ordered the universe. It was a creative power that kept the universe going. It was through reason and logic and understanding that it took place. And so they were very familiar with the concept of Word. In the Hebrew Old Testament, the Word denotes God in action in creation, revelation, and redemption. The Word is a thought in action that reveals the mind of the person who speaks. In the beginning was the Word, the one who orders the universe, the one who created, who reveals himself, and who redeems those who need redemption. It's obvious, as we've already said, that the Word is Jesus. When you put verse 1 and verse 14 together, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John starts out by saying three things about this Word. In the beginning was the Word. It's another way of reminding, especially those who believed in the Hebrew Scriptures, of the very first chapter and the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, which really means even before the beginning, in the beginning of the beginning, God created. It's a reminder that this person who is the Word was present at creation and was the agent of creation. In the beginning was the Word. He doesn't stop there. He says, and the Word was with God. The Word had fellowship with God. The Word had an intimate relationship with God. He's trying to show that Jesus himself, who became flesh, was eternal. And he was the creative agent in creation, but he was also with God. There was a relationship with there. And yet he was distinct from God, because the very next sentence, phrase says, he was God. John is being very direct in when he wrote this, and it's not unclear at all. He's trying to tell you and me and everyone else that Jesus, who is God in the flesh, fully God, fully human. And while we may not be able to understand that completely, and while this finite mind can't grasp how God could leave heaven and come and be born in the womb of a woman and become flesh, John states it's absolutely true. I don't know about you, but the incarnation overwhelms me. I don't know about you, but the incarnation awes me. God became flesh. Willingly, out of love, to provide grace. I want you to notice that in these few first verses, what is trying to be told to you and to me is that all that God is, Jesus is. The words and the works of Jesus are the words and the works of God. All that God is, Jesus is. And yet he's separate from God. He had fellowship with him, and yet he himself is God. And it's interesting that what John is writing goes right along with the Hebrew understanding of what the Word is. He is God in action, in creation, revelation, and redemption. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Word is God through creation. That it doesn't stop there. He's also the God who reveals. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you notice that light helps reveal what's there? And it says darkness or misunderstanding or sin or evil cannot deal with the light. Light overtakes darkness every time. You can be in a great big room and light one little candle, and that little candle will overcome the darkness that surrounds it. What John is saying is that when Jesus came, he came to reveal who God is and what God's light. He is the true light that enlightens everyone, verse 9 says. And so Jesus is the Word in every single respect. He's also the Word of redemption. Says the true light which lightens everyone who came into the world. And then it goes on to say in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's redemption. That's redemption. Verse 16, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's redemption. The Word reveals the Creator God. It reveals the God who reveals himself to us in his character. And that's what the glory is all about. We have seen his glory. You remember back in Exodus, when Moses was on the mountain, he said to God, show me your character. And God had Moses turn his back to him so he wouldn't see him. And it says his glory came upon him, not just a light, but then it said, and revealed his character, what he is like. He is a God of love and mercy and justice, compassionate, etc. He is the God who reveals his glory, his character. But it doesn't stop there. It tells us that there are three ways we can respond to this revelation of the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And by the way, that word dwelt among us, in Greek it means tabernacled among us. And John is trying to remind those he's writing to that this God who created us and revealed himself to us and redeemed us, it's the same God who redeemed the Israelites. It's the same God who, when the law was given, said, let them make me a sanctuary that I might tabernacle among them, I might dwell. It's a word for the presence of God being with his people. And John wants them to know that Jesus, who is the Word, more than anything else, wants to live and make his presence available to you and to me. And we have three choices. Three choices are outlined here. First of all, the world made a choice. In the world, it says, the world did not know him. The world still doesn't know him. He came to his own people, people who should have been who were religious and should have known him and should have been ready for him. And he said his own people received him not. They rejected him. And then it gives the third group of people. Says, but to all who received him. to all who believed or trusted in his name, who trusted in the character, who trusted in this word, who created, revealed, and redeemed us, to all who believed in him, he gave the right or the power or the authority to become children of God. That's taken from an adoption formula of that time. It's saying he's adopting us into his family. Anyone who accepts and receives him and say, I trust in you as the Word who is God, who provides light and truth and grace, they have the right or power or authority to become the children of God. And the next phrase is really, really super important. Who became children and were born, not of blood or of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What John is saying here is that just as only God could create, and just as only God could provide light and reveal himself, and just as only God can provide salvation, so any method other than trusting in what he has done will fall short of enabling us to become his child. We're born not of flesh or blood, not by the will of man, but by God. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only Son. Have you beheld the glory of Jesus lately? Have you seen the glory of his grace, the glory of his character that is a character of love, it's a character of compassion, it's a character of justice, it's a character of holiness, it's a character that is so trustworthy. He's faithful, he's good. You look at all the characteristics in the Bible of him, and why wouldn't anyone trust him? So, as we celebrate this Christmas season, perhaps the question that you and I need to ask, as we think about this word that became flesh, this one who is very God, who came in the flesh in order that we might believe in him and live, the question is, which group are you in? Are you in the world who does not know him and does not want to? Are you in the world of those who should know him, who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof? Are you among those who have believed in his name, who have received him and have become his child, his son or daughter? Because simply knowing that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us isn't good enough. He wants more. He invites you to receive him that you might become a child of God. As Robin comes forward for our morning prayer, I'd like to invite you, if you want to make a declaration that you want to receive Jesus Christ, not, receiving Christ is an ongoing thing, all right? Whether you received him in the past or not is not the issue. If you want to receive Jesus Christ because of who he is the Word who became flesh and wants to dwell and be present in your life, would you please stand and say, Jesus, I receive you.